Welcome back to the Rare Disorder Podcast. I'm your host, Shivani, and this is the 18th episode of my Meet a Fighter series, so let's get right into it. Today, I'm going to be addressing the rare condition SLC6A1. It is an autosomal dominant genetic disorder characterized by the loss of function of one copy of the human SLC6A1 gene. So, how rare is this condition? SLC6A1 is extremely rare. To date, only 34 patients have been said to have it. It is characterized by early onset seizures and mild to severe intellectual disability. In addition, language impairment and behavioral problems have also been observed. These seizure types include absences, myoclonic, and atonic seizures. So, what are some symptoms? As I said before, some of the symptoms are absence seizures, myoclonic, atonic, epilepsy, mild to moderate intellectual disability, speech difficulties, and behavior problems. And also, the EEG pattern shows irregular, high ample, and generalized spike in waves. What causes this condition? The cause of SLC6A1 is a change or mutation in one copy of the SLC6A1 gene that prevents the gene from working properly. There are two gene variants that have been observed in patients. The first one is the protein truncating variants that stop the protein production for one of the two genes inherited from parents. The second one is the point mutations in the critical regions of the protein. So, how is it diagnosed? DNA sequencing is extremely important in the diagnosis process. It usually is targeted gene panel sequencing. Variations found in the sequencing are then examined closely to find the mutation in the SLC6A1 gene. So, what are some related disorders? There are many infantile epileptic encephalopathies which result from mutations in various genes just like SLC6A1. These genes include KCNQ2, FOXG1, and so many more. These conditions often show overlapping characteristics with SLC6A1 deficiency. So, are there any therapy or treatment options available? Currently, there is a really small number of patients and clinical data available is limited. However, doctors know that treatment will require interdisciplinary effects. Now I'm so excited to welcome Amber Freed, whose son, Maxwell, is a fighter of SLC6A1. I'm so excited to have you on my podcast today. To start, I was wondering if you could talk about an average day in your life with your son having this rare condition.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so happy to be here. I loved listening. I think it makes sense to start off explaining the condition, because when Maxwell was diagnosed, I actually Googled it and there were no search results found. And I think we all know you can Google any combination of words or letters or numbers and get some interesting search results. So SLC6A1 is a rare progressive neurodevelopmental disorder. That includes speech apraxia, a movement disorder that looks similar to Parkinson's, intellectual disability, global delays, and progresses into a really debilitating form of epilepsy for which there are no drugs. Maxwell and his twin sister are 4 years old, and so our day is super hectic having two kids the same age, but a very, very different development levels. Just in the past 4 days, we've actually had 5 doctor's appointments. Like, we have a doctor in New York, we have a doctor in Dallas, we have a doctor in Denver, and then he's just normal pediatrician. And I'm mostly a full-time medical record keeper and planner of therapies. So he's in occupational therapy, physical therapy, equine therapy, swim, music. And in the meantime, I'm running a large patient organization and trying to be as much of a quote-unquote normal parent as possible.
Mm-hmm. All right, so is the patient organization that you're referring to, is that the Milestones for Maxwell?
It's actually named SLC 6A1 Connect, but as we started to fundraise and get a lot of hits to our website, this was a funny problem to have. I never thought about how terrible of a name this disease has. So I would direct people to the website, but who could remember SLC 6A1? Mm-hmm. You can't. So Milestones for Maxwell is exactly the same thing, but people can remember to go to milestonesformaxwell.org to donate or join our blog or get more information.
All right, and then could you just like talk about like some of the things your organization does, and what was your like motivation behind starting it, and just some of the accomplishments and how far it's come since you started it?
Sure. So when Maxwell was diagnosed, we were told he was one of 34 in the world and nothing would ever be done. The exact words were too rare to care. Academia won't care, biotech won't care, and you're going to be the only patient your doctor sees with this condition, so you're probably not going to get their attention either. And that has turned out to be false because Maxwell's disease is new. It's recently discovered. In actuality, we're the 10th cause of autism, 6th cause of epilepsy, and play a major role in many psychiatric disorders. But his disease was discovered in 2017. How can you be diagnosed with something that doesn't exist? So patients are finding us like crazy. SLC 6A1 Connect focuses on research, because there's a lot of organizations that provide emotional support, and that's just not what we're best at. We are trying to cure this disease, and we're actually fairly close. We've raised over $2 million in 2.5 years. Every penny has gone straight toward developing a gene therapy that will treat every child with this disorder.
That is amazing that you're really fundraising for this research and that it goes to research specifically, because I know that a lot of organizations focus on awareness, but I also think that research is a really important component in finding cures for these rare diseases and conditions.
Yeah, and it's worked out well for us because, as an example, we encourage everybody to hold a Facebook birthday fundraiser for SLP 6A1 Connect. The money is great. It's a great fundraising exercise. But also, everybody sees a disease named SLC 6A1. And a lot of the time, people are just curious, like, what kind of a disease is that? And in fundraising, we've been extremely successful in just raising awareness.
Mm-hmm. So, since starting this organization, have you guys been able to find other patients across, like, the world or even in your community that show the same symptoms of SLC 6A1 or just connect with other people?
Oh, yes, very much so. We have a couple sister diseases. We're actually in a clinical trial right now to repurpose a drug with them. Then we've found a lot of other patients. We have a full patient organization in Italy, in Belgium, and England, but we have patients all over the world. We are a global organization.
Wow, it's, like, really amazing what you're doing. Thank you so much for doing that. It seems like your organization has really grown and developed over the past few years.
It has, and I think every parent listening to this knows that you love your children more than you love yourself, with a ferocity that is greater than anything in the world that exists. It's the strongest bond imaginable. Mm-hmm. And there was not a chance I was going to just go home and take this diagnosis. I would, maybe I won't be successful, and that's, of course, a risk I would take, but I couldn't live with myself if I hadn't swung the bat as hard as I absolutely could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree, and once again, it's really amazing that you're doing this for your son and raising awareness, because, like, we honestly never know. Like, there could be, like, so many people with the same condition, but we just don't know right now. So it's really great that you're forming these connections and also, like, becoming part of this community and meeting new people along the way.
Yes, and I feel like the rare disease community is a club you never want to join, but the camaraderie is really second to none. Like, I have loved getting to know the other parents and working with everybody is just so supportive and kind.
Mm-hmm. All right, so just kind of moving back to the topic of this rare condition, is there anything you feel that other people should know about your son's disorder? Like, this can be, like, any common misconceptions or just anything you want other people to know.
Well, that is such a great question. And I think if there was one message I wanted to leave listeners with, it's that when we think about these very huge problems, like Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is such a good example. There was recently a drug approved for it, but prior to that, you know, it's been 20 years with no innovation. And part of the reason is that's a very complex disease. Like, more than one thing went wrong. And for SLC681, we're what's called a haploinsufficiency. So just half of a gene that is very important in your body is not working well. Like, a great analogy is that if this were a pipe, it's half clogged and water is not flowing through. But because this is a monogenic disease only affecting one gene, the technology exists today to outright cure that, to replace the gene using a gene therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is insanely expensive now. Like, every parent, like, families are responsible for raising $4 to $7 million to get these trials through phase one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tremendous burden. It's so hard. But I really believe that, like, any new technology is so expensive now. But in 5 or 10 years, we're going to laugh at how expensive it was. And the more monogenic diseases we're able to cure, the easier it will be able to attack more complex diseases like Alzheimer's. And this is super random to say, but I was watching the Freddie Mercury biopic,
mm-hmm,
a couple weeks ago, and it occurred to me, oh, here's little Maxie, it occurred to me that for a while, you know, the AIDS community really struggled getting support, and it just feels so foreign to me that there was a moment in time where AIDS patients were ridiculed, and there was so much prejudice and shame, and I was just watching his journey and crying, and it occurred to me that the rare disease community is kind of similar. We need a community that screams as loud that this could be your brother or sister. This actually could happen to you. Rare diseases affect 1 in 10 Americans. And so this really is all of our problem, and I hope that we can work together to solve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you said, especially, like, with the strength of the rare disease community nowadays. I know like a couple years ago it definitely wasn't that strong, but it's really like built a community on like both Instagram and all these like small support groups across the web.
That is good to hear, and I just hope it keeps growing.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then another question I had for you is, how are you all coping with it?
You know, I think we're coping as well as can be. It's a really depressing, lonely place to be a lot of time, because of course you don't want your children to be sick. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've come to the realization that this is how life is for the moment, and we're doing everything we can to change it for Maxwell's future and for kids to come after him.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then, so have you all ever encountered a major struggle with his condition, and how were you all able to overcome it?
We have had so many struggles with his condition, and I would say one of the hugest struggles we encountered was finding a doctor that really cared. At first, when he was first diagnosed, we were being seen in genetics and neurology, and everyone started arguing which clinic we should be seen in, so he was receiving no care at all. Then we said our regional center was not working for us. So we went all the way to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to be introduced to a doctor in our hometown that took us on in his own. It can be really, really hard to find a doctor that cares.
Yeah, I know like that for many rare disease patients, it can be really hard to find a doctor that like really meets their needs, because some doctors like can sometimes just be like not aware in some situations, or just like not 100% educated on rare conditions because such a small amount of people have them, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, and then, so I know you have the organization that you founded and you are fundraising a lot of money for this condition. So if any, what are some initiatives that you take to raise awareness for his condition or even just rare diseases in general?
The approach I've taken, and this is not for everybody, but we've just become ultra public about my family's struggles, because if nobody talks about it, then nobody is going to understand it. And it's really easy not to care about the disease named SLC6A1, but it's really hard to not care. It's very easy to love Maxwell Fried if you see a video of him, or you get to snuggle him, or you get an understanding of how hard my family is working to try and help him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think that putting his story out there, or just for any patient in general, them putting their story out there, really helps other people get a view of what life is like with that rare condition. And I think your approach is a really good approach for spreading awareness. Because I know you guys have like a whole website where you have like videos, other patients who have the same condition, and just everything like that.
Yes.
Alrighty. And then I was wondering if there were any resources you would like to share that you've come across that you may have found helpful to help other people who also have SLC6A1.
Yeah, so I think what I would reference are actually other diseases. There's Effie Parks has a great podcast for the rare disease community. Global Genes is great to become become involved and learn more about resources available and learn about diseases. I give like monthly fireside chats, I guess you could call them, mm-hmm. on one specific topic, but this is just about rare disease. And another great resource is a man named Sanath Kumar Ramesh. He is the CEO at a company named Open Treatments. And if you Google, he has a website that actually walks you through if your disease is a candidate for gene therapy, because that's a huge question I get asked. Is, can my children's disease be treated with gene therapy? And he has an easy online tool to just figure that out for you. As far as SLT6A1 goes, if any patients are listening, please join our patient group. We are looking for you. We have a lot of opportunities to get better care, and I hope we can connect.
All right. Thank you for sharing those resources. So just kind of to end off now, I was just wondering if there was anything else you would like to share with my podcast audience today.
I would just share it that I'm so thankful for people listening, because that means by default they support the rare disease community. And I truly believe that a rising tide lifts all ships. And the answer isn't going to be just a couple of people. It's absolutely going to be all of us. So just thank you, and feel free to sign up for my blog if you'd like to follow our story on milestonesformaxwell.org.
All right, thank you. So just to close out now, I would like to thank you so much, Amber, for joining me today and sharing your son's story. So just thank you for being on the podcast today.
Well, thank you.